Welcome back, friends, to the Unschool Files, a podcast featuring the varying lives of unschoolers. You are listening to episode 4. In this episode, I'm going to discuss several things that have come up while I have been recording other episodes and recording with other people. This topic has come up about sort of bridging the gap of information from within the homeschooling and unschooling community and expanding it outward even further so that there is maybe a little more understanding as to what self-directed learning looks like, and in particular what unschooling looks like and what it isn't, because there are definitely myths out there about what it is. So let's jump into that. Unschooling is deep life learning. It is time to ask questions, ask the same question over and over again, ask questions around that question, to learn at one's own pace. And that speed isn't measured. There is no schooly testing of their skills. There is just questions and answers and understanding and then progress, like just progression. They just grow like we're growing now as adults. Still, they're doing that without the confines of a compulsory attendance to a school. It doesn't mean that they don't utilize schools. It doesn't mean that they don't utilize classrooms. It doesn't mean that they don't utilize curriculum even. It's not compulsory curriculum, but in some cases, there may be a child who is so deeply moved by science that they just blow through science curriculum. And the parent uses the curriculum with the child's understanding that, like, hey, look, this is what you're asking for. More of this. This is going to give us a better understanding because maybe I don't even understand this. Maybe I've dumped my high school chemistry knowledge from my brain because I've moved on and I don't remember some of these things. A curriculum may be the best way for you to get that, or attending a chemistry lab class locally somewhere may be the best way to get that, or doing it in your homeschooling cooperative may be the best way to get that. It doesn't mean that curriculum isn't used. In fact, I think I know more unschoolers than not who have lots of curriculum, lots of materials, because having it all there and keeping it through, you know, the years and through children and passing around from other families, which I've done myself even, it's keeping things accessible. And I may keep something on my shelf for quite a while before I'll ask among other families, hey, does anybody need something like this based on, you know, ages or who might be around? But we don't not use educational materials and curriculum. It is used in partnership with our children, with understanding and with their desire to do so. Because I think most adults, if you're listening, surely you can understand that you are far more likely to comprehend and really take in some subject or some subject matter or class if you are deeply interested in it than if you are not, than if you are just forced. How many of us have breezed through, you know, some slideshow training or, you know, something that you had to do annually for your job that you've, a safety briefing that you've done a million times, you know, you're not interested in it. So it's odd that we, for some reason, don't allow children to do that. Now that conversation has some intersections at it that can go a lot of different directions because, oh man, are there a lot of ways. But I am trying to keep the episodes brief and I want to touch on some of those things later, but that's not necessarily, you know, accessible for everyone. The idea of having a facilitator or a parent at home, I mean, some people can have a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or somebody else that's not a parent to facilitate their unschooling child or their self-directed child, but it can be difficult. And if you don't have the ability to do this, this can be really challenging to shift any kind of action if this is not accessible to you. So the accessibility of this privilege is a conversation that I definitely want to have. And if there's someone out there listening who would want to talk with me about it and would be more of an expert on the subject, I'm here to learn and I want to connect and have that conversation with you. But another episode. So moving on from that, I wanted to say that the handful of myths out there that I really think deserve some time are the fact that unschoolers don't read, they don't use, you know, classrooms, they don't do any math, they don't follow rules or have any kind of discipline, and it's just a complete free-for-all. I often hear the Lord of the Flies parallel being drawn in conversation among people who may not know that we're unschoolers or who may think that we are somehow an exception to the, and I'm using quotey fingers again, like the ones they've seen that, and this is truly the way I've heard people speak about other people, the ones they've seen, you know, that appear lazy or don't follow rules or have poor hygiene or diet, comment on, you know, the fact that they were eating just chips and the mother said it was okay because it was their choice. Man, this is, there's a lot to unravel around all of that. And it really is mostly to do with people's discomfort in this parent allowing her children to make a choice that may not be the choice that they would want their child to make. And the reasons may or may not be good. I mean, the reasons may be because you know your child can't eat that food that makes their tummy hurt. Or you know that if given your child's freedom, they would only eat chips and nothing else but chips. It's a different understanding that you have than what the other parent has, likely. And I'll just say, if I'm the other parent, here's where my understanding would be. I'm going to say that if that's all that they wanted to bring that day, you know, say we came to co-op and all they brought for lunch was a massive bag of chips. And everyone had plenty of time. I provided plenty of time for everyone before our drive to co-op to get up, pack our food. You know, we worked together. Everyone, you know, no one was rushed. So the circumstances were that everyone had the time to prepare what they wanted to take for lunch that day. And one of mine wants to take a massive bag of chips. I might say, are you sure that's what you want to take? Are you sure that you don't want to add some other things? I'll toss some apples in my bag if, you know, that'll help. I mean, there may be some conversations around it, or there may not be. You don't know, because you weren't in their home, right? But we're jumping to this conclusion that she's just letting her kids just eat chips, remember? So maybe some conversations get had, maybe they don't. But from my point of view, that day at co-op, I don't know what she had planned. She might be gambling her chips away at the lunch table, which, by the way, our kiddos do. They like play these trade games where they all put their bits of their lunch in the middle of the table, and it's a whole thing. But or she may be bringing all the chips and her bestie is bringing the sandwiches that day, because these kids make these kinds of arrangements. Or maybe all she wanted was chips. Or maybe she brought the chips and was feeling grumpy that morning and didn't really want to make anything else and just grabbed them, and that's what she did. But that day at lunch, when all she had was chips, she might be a little annoyed, but she might say something to me, she might not. But she's probably not going to just bring chips again. So what I'm trying to say is, from the other side, we can be quick to make a judgment without completely understanding the freedom that self-directed learning, unschooling, is allowing in children. And we're not totally understanding the process. And some of us on the other side who are unschooling still might not be totally understanding of the process or totally trusting of the process, but we're trying. And we want to change the program. So this is kind of an attempt to maybe explain and give more understanding. So I hope this is doing that. So a few other myths before I wrap up is back to, you know, the free for all, and that there aren't any rules and there isn't any discipline, and that there's this apparent weakness in the parent, and that the kids kind of say what goes because it's child led. Also false. It's partnership. It's connected relationship over coercion. It's access to more materials, time to let their ideas and their answers to their questions, you know, really saturate. And a lot of times that is the child having the space to do so. And for some reason, there may be a difference here in understanding of what space is and whether or not children should have it. So we, in the unschooling world, are allowing that space and being available to answer questions, to help guide them, to find other people to help us answer more questions, to explore those ideas fully and all the way around the spectrum of that idea. So one other myth that's connected to this is that it's sort of this parent like martyrdom where we're just totally available all of the time because we have to be available, and that we're just depleted. We're also exploring our ideas. This, what I'm doing here in and of itself, is me exploring my own desire. And they all have an understanding that there's a little bit of time that I take out of our weeks together and months together now since I've been doing this. And it's like understood. We all give each other space and hold the space for each other. And it takes some tweaking at the beginning, before I started putting any of this out and I was just practicing recording. I would have to stop because a door would open, a toilet would flush, some stomping would happen. And I was just trying to make it, like, if you knew me personally, you'd know I really just want it to be a certain way. And that's just my own thing. And I had to be okay with it. It's going to just be conversational. It's just going to be, you're going to hear the dryer sometimes. You're going to hear the trucks passing sometimes. You're going to hear my kids laughing hysterically sometimes. A few rooms away maybe, but you can still hear them. So I had to just be okay with that. But this is, you know, this is me exploring my own thing. And so it's proof in and of itself that it's not that. The parents aren't just depleted in this way while we're doing unschooling. So you want to practice conversations with your children and your partner and all together as a family, and utilize that family meeting, because those work too. The last couple things that unschoolers can't and don't go to college, and that they'll have to settle for low wages. Also not true. If you go back and listen to the last episode, my partner's living proof that that's not true. And there are many other people out there that I've met in the world who also are proof that that's not true. And it's a really, really big myth. It's probably the biggest myth that if you don't go to school, you cannot go to college or have a successful career with high wages. It's not true. And the moment that we can accept that there is a different way to get to the end of childhood and reach adulthood and master your own learning and have a path to go down that doesn't include the brick and mortar school, until we can understand and recognize that that's possible and break those old ideas down and recognize that they can both be possible together, even, then we won't understand really what unschooling is really all about. We won't understand it if we don't have an understanding of that being valid and accepting that. So I hope that this helped debunk a few things that maybe you thought about unschoolers. If you're listening and you're not an unschooler, I hope that if you are an unschooling family or facilitator or someone involved in this, and you're listening to this, I hope that that this helped, you know, ease your mind, and that maybe you've been thinking these things too and didn't have a place to say it. And I'm hoping that lots of folks are going to come and hear it here. So it's definitely not everything. There's so much more. But it's a beginning to the conversation, and sort of one of the intentions of this podcast to bring more awareness and understanding as to what this is, so we can validate it as people and say that this is also a way that is valid. Thank you so much for listening to the entire episode. I really appreciate it, and I'm really glad that you're here. I wanted to let you know that you can connect with me if you've got questions or comments on this episode over on Instagram at The Unschool Files, and there is always a square for every episode, so you can comment there. You can also send direct messages, or you can send me an email at theunschoolfiles@gmail.com. If you are someone who's interested in being featured on the podcast and you want to talk about how you're living life without school, or facilitating children who are living life without school, definitely reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. I'm so grateful that the community is continuing to grow, and I'm glad that I was able to drop this episode in between some that I had scheduled, and I hope that you'll hang tight. I will be releasing episodes As I'm able, it's looking like at least a few every month I'll be able to release. It seems to be a good pace for me, but definitely stay tuned because there's some really good conversations that are going to be rolling out. And the next episode, you're definitely going to want to hang on to because I'm going to be talking to a world schooling parent in Tokyo. Until next time, stay kind to each other.